This is our last vineyard story for a while. Challenge to all preachers, you know. Four vineyard stories in a row. This week, in praying about these readings, I kept coming back to my bird feeder. You might wonder how that connects with this gospel. I'm going to try to attempt to put them together. For the last 3 or 4 years, I've had my bird feeder in different places, you know. 1 year I put them in a place where unwanted sunflowers started coming up, and another place all the goldfinches wouldn't come near it because it was too sheltered. And this year I put it on the side of the rectory, and so it's only 2 feet from the window, which is too close for a bird strike, which is good, but far enough away that they can't see me. And so, you know, it's a lot of work putting one of these things together. You have to have the poles, and then you've got to buy the right kind of bird feeder, ones hopefully that are sheltered from the rain and don't get clogged up. You've got to clean them. You've got to buy the right seed. I had a problem with squirrels, so I bought a squirrel baffle. Not baffled by it, but so... Other critters come and eat at it that I would rather not have them in there. I had a couple of doves sitting in it all summer, which is very interesting. It's like a 747 landing at the Salem Airport, you know. but they're funny. They come in pairs and they sit there and eat, and in the tray. But you know, sometimes I say, why am I going to all this trouble anyway? But in the morning I'll open the blind. And I'm right next to the window, and it's full of birds, and they can't see me. And I'm right there, you know, right behind the blind, looking at the birds. And in that image, I see very clearly what I think our Lord is trying to get at in this parable. It has many meanings, but I'm going to try and draw out the one that applies to us. The Lord planted a vineyard, and we're living in it. You know, it's called the earth. And he leased it out to tenants, which is us. As in the last three parables, we come and go. The owner is the only one that remains. The owner and the vineyard remain. But before he hired the tenants, he went to a lot of trouble. He put up a hedge, which keeps out critters that you don't want to come in and ruin the vines. He planted and provided seeds so the vines would grow, and trellises, of course, that they could grow on. He built a watchtower, which was also where they lived. So this was provided housing for the workers. And then at certain times of the year, they would go up to the top of it and watch out for robbers. So it was a watchtower. And you can still see these in the Holy Land today. So that goes all the way from the time of Isaiah in the first reading all the way to today, span of almost 3,000 years, you know, and all using that same technology. And then he provides hoes and other implements we hear in the first reading. And then the owner goes off on a long journey. That sounds familiar also, doesn't it? I go away from the bird feeder, and, you know, the birds don't have the slightest idea who's filling up the feeder, do they? I mean, they're very smart creatures, but they don't know who I am. When they see me coming, there's a lot of squawking and fast flapping. And I'm sure that if they talk to each other, they're saying, there's that guy stealing our food again. Or they might be saying, you know, other bushes, they come and go and we have to go searching, but this one seems to provide all the time. They know not how. They do not know me. Maybe they do, but they don't come around when I'm there. They don't understand that someone's providing for them. And our Lord, in the same way, goes away because what's really happening in our lives is we're in a period of faith. We're in a period of testing. The Lord has set up our lives in a certain way, our world in a certain way, and then he stands back and watches behind the blinds, if you will. He's right there. We're not birds. But he does compare us to birds, doesn't he, once? He says, you are worth more than a flock of sparrows that are sold for 2 cents. Every hair of your head has been counted. But he has to, in a sense, disappear behind people and circumstances and events and coincidences, in the Eucharist, of course, in the Word of God, in our neighbor. But he doesn't appear openly in this gospel until the very end. And good for us that he is waiting, because while we're in this experiment, while we're in this time of great testing, it is vitally important that we come to understand what our lives are really all about. God has given us tremendous gifts. All of us have the gifts of the five senses. Some have more than others. You know, one or the other senses may be not working right, such as hearing. You know, I hear when you get married, one ear usually goes out immediately afterward. But I don't know why I put that in. But he gives us our families. Some are dysfunctional, but it's still a gift. The fact that we live in this century, in this country, in the Catholic Church, that you have either come into it or born into it, God has foreseen this. We have choices. But God also is very busy setting up the parameters, helping us behind the scenes, aiding us with our guardian angels. Feast was this week. We all have a hidden helper that's with us. He does all of these things and does not want to be noticed. He wants to be thanked, but his hand remains basically unseen, at least to the untrained eye. It is very vitally important that we understand why we're here. The first mistake that the tenants make is that they forget one thing. And what's that? They forget that they're not the owners. That's exactly it. We can begin to think that we've created our own world. We have a lot of technology. Look what we've done. But God has provided all the instrumentality that we've used, including our minds. Some people never give thanks to God for their graces until they're gone. God's given each of us a certain amount of money, a certain amount of time, a certain amount of sufferings, a certain amount of joys. We have opportunities each day to give glory to God. Many of us go to school, or we have a job that we go to, and we have gifts to share with other people. Perhaps we have some regrets, but even those can be turned to good by God. So he gives us this great arena that we're in, which is the vineyard, you know. He might use a different image in the modern world, but we do have a lot of vineyards here in Oregon. And then he steps back and allows us to prove ourselves here in this world. Are we going to choose with faith? Every lesson almost has the implied... It's implied that God is nearby, but slightly out of sight. The tenants have an interesting response to God, or to the owner. When he begins to ask for the rent for the produce of the land, which was their obligation as renters, they begin to kill them, abuse them, throw them out, stone them. If it were a normal owner, he would immediately call the police and have them arrested, if not killed, themselves. But God is very patient and merciful. When we throw out his messengers in our lives, which most of us do on a regular basis, he very patiently sends us another one.